Welcome to St Martin the Fields, and welcome to great sacred music, and a special welcome for those joining us online or joining us for the first time. I'm not a mind reader, but I do know what you were thinking when you woke up this morning. You were thinking to yourself, it's the International Day of Human Spaceflight. And you're also thinking about two theological questions that that raises. First of all, why does the Bible seem to talk about what the 20th century theologian Rudolf Bultmann used to call the three-decker universe of heaven up there, hell down there, and us somewhere in between? That doesn't seem to accord to how the universe actually works. Well, that would be a good point, but I think to transfer our perceptions from understanding heaven up there to heaven being in another realm entirely, what we might call the difference between existence here and essence in heaven, isn't too challenging, and it leaves space as a wonderful part of God's creation to enjoy and explore. And then the second question that I'm sure you were asking yourself, possibly after breakfast, because it would have taken a while to get through the first question, was probably why, if there's this huge universe that God has created, does the Bible and Christianity only talk about this one planet? Well, this leads to questions of, if Jesus was God incarnate, is there an incarnation on Mars or on all these planets far away? I don't see it like that, in a sense that I see Jesus becoming incarnate as being God wholly investing in creation. And what's distinguished about the Earth is that this is the planet in which God chose to become incarnate. It's not that, you know, there's some very special people here today, I get that. But it's not because of all the special people on Earth. It's because this is the planet on which God chose to become incarnate. That's what distinguishes the Earth from the other planets. And so the issue of whether we find life on other planets is, to me, neither here nor there. It'd be interesting, but theologically, it doesn't matter one way or the other. Okay, we've settled those two points, and we can get started now. It's our tradition of great sacred music to start with a hymn that we all sing. You might recognize the tune. You probably won't recognize the words. They were written by Thomas Traeger, professor of Christian communication at Yale Divinity School, who just died a couple of years ago, a well-known preacher, poet, and musician. And obviously in the week of the eclipse, there's plenty to reflect on here, but perhaps in the light of that wider understanding of the universe and creation, the last four lines might seem particularly poignant in our current situation: to sow without abusing the soil where life is grown, to reap without our bruising the sunlit mossy stone. We remain seated, and the voices stand and lead us as we sing Above the Moon Earth Rises. Well, as many of you will be aware, there's been quite a renaissance in choral music here at St. Martin's in the last 10 or 12 years or so, of which the voices behind me are one of the chief fruits. But one of the other fruits of that renaissance has been a series of composers in residence. And our current composer with residence is Lucy Walker, and we're going to hear one of her wonderful compositions sung by the voices right now. I would say a characteristic of her writing is elegant simplicity, and that's wonderfully expressed in her taking the opening words of Henry Vaughan's poem, The World, and delicately evoking Vaughan's understated reverie in his words, I saw eternity the other night like a great ring of pure and endless light. Let's enjoy this piece now together.
Thank you.
Well, if there's one line that everybody knows about outer space, it is one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And we're going to hear a piece based on those famous words now by Melissa Dunphy. Let these words be an inspiration to all scientists among us today. As a teenager, she wrote, long before I became a composer, I traveled one summer from my hometown in Australia to Huntsville, Alabama, to attend Advanced Space Academy at Space Camp, an unforgettable experience inspired by my fascination with science and the space program. Although I eventually switched my career path from the sciences to music, I've never lost the wonder I hold for scientific exploration and discovery. The beauty of science is not only in its ability to identify and solve problems and bring about progress, but in its inspirational stories that can unite us transformatively as a species. The emotional impact of achievements like the 1969 moon landing resonates even among those of us who weren't yet alive to witness it in real time. So I guess the moral of that is that there may be some among us today languishing in a career in science, but you too could still make it as a musician. We're then going to hear the Northern Lights, appropriately, composed by the contemporary Norwegian-American composer Ole Geho. The words for this piece, interestingly, come from the Song of Songs in the Old Testament. Northern Lights, Aurora Borealis, are dancing waves of light. Energized particles from the sun thud into the Earth's upper atmosphere at speeds of up to 45 million miles per hour. But our planet's magnetic field protects us from them. Phew. As Earth's magnetic field redirects the particles towards the poles, the dramatic process transforms into a cinematic atmospheric phenomenon. Let's hear these two fascinating pieces now.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to sing together again now, and we're going to sing Praise the Lord, Ye Heavens, Adore Him. This is an anonymous hymn that was discovered in a collection of hymns in the Foundling Hospital, slightly old-fashioned name, but you may know of the merchant called Thomas Coram in the 18th century, who was on his way to worship at St. Andrew's Holborn, just about a mile up the road from here, and he found an abandoned infant and was moved to set up a hospital in High Holborn, just along the road from here, for abandoned children, and it got such a reputation that Handel donated an organ. I guess Handel just happened to have a couple of organs lying around, and he passed one over. And rather as St. Martin the Fields has become famous for its work with those experiencing homelessness, as well as its repertoire in classical music, so the Coram Foundation became famous for its work with orphans, but also for the music of its chapel. And so this hymn was among those in the Foundling Hospital connection, and of a collection, I should say. And as we sing the first four lines, you'll understand why we've chosen it for today to go with the theme of space. We remain seated. Voices stand and lead us. You may just recognize the tune as we sing, Praise the Lord, Ye Heavens, Adore Him. Well, we're coming towards the end of Great Sacred Music for this week. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. If you have, there's an opportunity to make a donation by swipe or cash as you depart. We're going to finish with Fly Me to the Moon. Of course we are. It was written in 1954, covered by a chap called Frank Sinatra in 1964, closely associated with NASA's Apollo space program. Became the first music heard on the moon when it was played on a portable cassette player. The younger amongst us might not know what one of those is. by Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin after he stepped onto the moon in 1969. So move over Mozart, move over Beethoven, bring on Frank Sinatra to celebrate such a great occasion, which we're going to honor now together as we finish. Thanks for joining us.